The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
You know, they say it's a thin line between love and hate, but we're working every day to thicken that line, or at least make it a double, even triple line.
Now here's your line-jumping host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Well, I'm sorry to say today is a sad day in the world, principally because of what happened yesterday in Paris. I thought the best thing we could do is see if we can get John Zmirak on the line from Texas to talk about that and other things. And the happy news is we got John. John, welcome back.
Hi, Eric. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm glad I have you to help me and my audience process what happened yesterday. You know, it's rare in life that we get really shocked. I was really shocked. And I think obviously most people were at the news of this this inferno of this 800-something-year-old cathedral. You already wrote an article about it, which is why you blow my mind. The title of your article at The Stream is called "Are We Too Primitive to Rebuild Notre Dame?" What are your thoughts? I mean, from the article and generally speaking.
Yeah, I was kind of numb all day yesterday, and luckily, I have to write a column every day, and obviously I needed to write about this, and I'm glad I did, but it felt like live tweeting from my mother's funeral.
Oh.
Really did. I've never been to France. I've always thought, oh, I will someday go to France, and of course I'll see Notre Dame, and I'll see Chartres, and I'll see Reims, you know. They'll always be there, right? Yeah. I used to think that about the World Trade Center.
Right.
Oh, I'll got to get windows on the world one of these days. Well, eventually. Well,
right.
You know, I never got to. And I was in New York on 9/11. And
yeah.
Yesterday felt a little bit the same. I mean, thank God there weren't a lot of people, there weren't thousands of people killed, and I wasn't in the same city. On the other hand, the building is vastly, vastly more important than two ugly shoeboxes stood
no,
on
the end. The best part about 9/11 is that they were two of the ugliest buildings I've ever seen. But this is exactly the opposite. You're dealing with
if only they'd been empty.
Well, that's that's the horror, right? But yeah. here you're talking about a building, of course, that was empty, and you know, even that we could even start there, John, because that's the difference, you know, between the World Trade Center, a bustling center of commerce filled with people, productive people. So the human tragedy is incalculable. But
right.
Here we have a building that wasn't only empty when this happened, but that generally speaking was empty. This is one of the greatest buildings in the history of the world, one of the centers of Christendom on the planet. Rod Dreher said that apart from St. Peter's in Rome, there's nothing that compares to it. And spiritually speaking, It was not filled with worshipers. It hasn't been filled with worshipers for many, many decades. So that, to me, is part of the sadness here.
Yeah. Well, ironically, it belongs to the French government. Every church in France was seized by the government in 1905. All the property taken. All the church schools were taken. All the religious orders were kicked out of the country. And they weren't allowed to return until 1940, under the Vichy regime, ironically.
Wait a minute. I always learn something from you. You mean to tell me that all the nuns and monks were kicked out of France
in
1905?
Including ones who had a vow of stability. That's a vow where you're supposed to stay at the same place your entire life. They were kicked out. And in fact, there are communities that vow to stay together. So they had to dig up their dead and take them out of France.
Okay, hang on a second, because I've never heard this. 1905,
in the wake of the Dreyfus Affair.
And okay.
This was a terrible event where an innocent, patriotic Jewish officer was falsely accused of treason after the 1870 war with the Germans. And a lot of the people on the right in France backed the idea that he was guilty because they wanted to sort of scapegoat someone outside their community of Christian Frenchmen. So they picked this Jewish officer.
Okay, so,
but in fact, it was a French Catholic who sold the secrets to the Germans. The truth came out, and even though Pope Leo XIII defended Dreyfus and said he was innocent, many of the Catholic newspapers and political parties in France had backed his guilt. And when it came out that he was innocent, it was kind of like Watergate. It was a political catastrophe for the right and for the church in France. And part of the backlash against the church, the anti-clerical atheists who had taken over the government in 1905, just seized all the church's property.
Okay.
But God writes straight with crooked people. Because the churches were owned by the government, in the 1970s, when all the crazy priests who'd seen Godspell and Jesus Christ Superstar decided to gut their churches and make them look like cafeterias, they couldn't in France because the church didn't own the property.
Is that amazing? What's that, what did you say? God writes straight with crooked lines. What did you say?
With crooked people.
With crooked. God writes straight lines with crooked people. Well, that's exactly right. And now, but I don't want to. You're zipping past some amazing stuff here. And just because you know it so well, I want to make sure that my audience doesn't miss it, because this is all related. And I want to take the time with you to unpack some of this stuff.
Sure,
and
sure.
this is an opportunity to talk about French history and recent
right.
French history, because it all relates to Notre Dame. So just to go back, you said that the Dreyfus Affair, which took place, I don't remember, it's the late
1880s and 90s,
okay.
and pretty much wrapped up by 1905
okay.
when it was established
okay.
to any honest person that Albert Dreyfus was innocent.
Okay, he was a Jew.
And there's a great movie with Richard Dreyfus about the Dreyfus Affair. I think it's called An Affair of Honor.
What, really?
Prisoner of Honor? I think it's Prisoner of Honor.
No, but I mean, I'm just amazed that they actually got Richard Dreyfus, who is Jewish, to play Dreyfus in the Dreyfus Affair.
He didn't play Dreyfus. He played the Catholic officer who found out Dreyfus was innocent and proved it.
Okay. Well, let me ask you.
It's a heck of a movie. Really well done.
Okay, well, that's great. It's another good piece of information. But we're talking about some important history here. And
yeah.
at the center of the Dreyfus Affair, as I remember it, was anti-Semitism. There
right.
was great anti-Semitism in France in the latter part of the 19th century, culminating in this hideous affair where an innocent Jew was accused, the famous line, j'accuse. He was accused of this thing, dragged through the mud. But isn't it interesting that anti-Semitism and anti-clericalism often go hand in hand? In other words, the secularist forces that scapegoated the Catholic Church were doing what the right-wing pseudo-Catholics were doing by scapegoating the Jew Dreyfus. I mean, it's kind of a
That's right.
Parallel.
In France, unlike in America, church and state have traditionally been united. And the sense of nationhood had the religion and nationhood were wrapped up together. And that's had some unfortunate effects. You know, it resulted in the persecution of Protestants. It resulted in legal discrimination against Jews. And the church has gotten away definitively after Vatican II from any notion that it wants the government to enforce Catholicism on other people against their will. But, you know, that heritage was there in France. And so that was used as an excuse by enemies of Christianity altogether. And during the French Revolution, when they wanted to wipe out Christianity altogether, they would yell about the Inquisition. If we don't get rid of the church, they'll bring back the Inquisition. Of course, there hadn't been the Inquisition in France for, you know, 200 years. But they use that as an excuse to tear down churches every bit as impressive as Notre Dame. There's a famous Abbey of Cluny, which from the 12th century, enormous, vast, four times the size of Notre Dame. And the French revolutionaries just looted it and tore it down. Tore it down. Stone does not lie upon stone.
Did you say four times?
Robespierre wanted to tear down Notre Dame, but thankfully he was executed before he got around to that.
Well, I mean, this brings up some interesting stuff about separation of church and state, because, you know, we as Americans typically think that to force religion, you know, it's akin to theocracy. And by the way, it doesn't work. When the government forces religion, it can have the opposite effect and make people kind of numb. They just go through the motions, and then you get dead religion. I don't even have time to complete that sentence. We're going to be right back, folks. We've got John Zmierak for the hour, and into hour two, we're talking about Notre Dame and other current events.
It's Better Together, the exciting daily half-hour talk show by women and for women, coming to TBN weekdays starting April 22nd. It's good friends like Lori Crouch, Christine Kane, Carrie Jobe, Victoria Osteen, Lisa Harper, and many more. It's more than just a TV show. It's your daily destination for love, friendship, encouragement, and community. Starting Monday, April 22nd at 1:30 Eastern, only on TBN. Text TOGETHER to 316-316 to join in. That's TOGETHER to 316-316.
This is a message to business owners. The strongest selling proposition is to get your customer into your store in front of your product. Now you can do that digitally, everywhere, with Salem Surround. Digital marketing that easily takes your business beyond its four walls, putting your message on people's computers, tablets, and mobile phones everywhere. Your digital ad virtually puts them into your store in front of your products. Salem Surround takes the mystery of digital marketing off your shoulders, letting you run your business while we deliver customers. Call us at Salem Surround for a free analysis of your digital marketing effectiveness and suggested ideas that could dramatically increase your sales. There are no limitations on where you can reach customers. Salem Surround, total market penetration for increased ROI.
Learn more by logging on to SalemSurround.com. Connecting you with new customers.
I came as close to heaven as a person can be without getting in. For 3 years, I followed Jesus Christ and devoted myself to ministry. But today, despite all that I did as a follower of Jesus, I am languishing in hell.
Don't miss Heaven So Near So Far, the story of Judas Iscariot.
Heaven So Near So Far, this Friday in the Eric Metaxas Show.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
Are you overwhelmed, unable to think clearly or sleep well at night, or just trudging through each day but not really enjoying your life? I'm a counselor with Faithful Counseling, and that feeling of distress can sometimes be because you're wrestling with a problem that seems too big or too impossible to overcome. Other times, people are consumed by a past hurt. I'm part of a network of Christian counselors, fellow believers, trusted therapists who share your faith. We want to give you a free week so you can try us out. You can begin a conversation with one of us by text or phone, even video conferencing today. Are you ready to shake this off and begin enjoying your life? If it's not for you, cancel during your first week and you'll not pay a dime. Go to TryFaithfulCounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to TryFaithfulCounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go now to TryFaithfulCounseling.com.
You wouldn't put a square peg in a round hole, so why would you deploy a traditional firewall in a modern decentralized network? Firewalls have new requirements for businesses leveraging SaaS-based applications and public cloud platforms like AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud. We're in the cloud generation now, so your firewalls have to be engineered to fit right in. Reclaim your cloud network. Try a Barracuda Cloud Generation Network or Application Firewall free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to John Zmirak for most of the day today. We're talking about the tragedy of Notre Dame yesterday. Very hard to believe that this really happened. John, we were just talking about the Dreyfus affair and the anti-Semitism. And the anti-clericalism. And it's a strange thing because I just was making the point, you know, I always want to frame things, that when you force religion on people, typically it backfires. They kind of end up going through the motions and not really owning it themselves, and the government kind of takes responsibility. And so then you get a kind of a dead religion coupled with the backlash or the rebellion that manifests itself as anti-clericalism or as aggressive secularism. And in France, you really clearly have that. You have a kind of a secularism in France going all the way back, obviously, to the French Revolution, which is very ugly, I would say in many cases demonic, a real hatred of God and the things of God. And to me, the situation with Notre Dame, I think this is going to affect the French people in most ways, I would say, for the good. I think they may begin to think, they're probably already thinking more deeply about, you know, what is the heart of France and what is Christianity in France, because they've lost something that they so tremendously took for granted. And those are at least my initial thoughts.
I think that they might start to realize that what's truly great about France, as is truly great of any country that has ever been Christian, its greatest period was always when it was pervaded and suffused with supernatural faith. And the reason why a state religion tends to be a dead religion, compare religion to a marriage, right? It's a love affair between God and the soul. Well, how great are forced marriages where someone's kidnapped and married without their consent? That usually doesn't work.
Suzanne is still angry at me, I got to say. But she'll get over it. She's going to learn to love me, okay? No, but you're quite right, John. And I think that this is part of the tragedy of Western Europe, is that you have, look, not just Western Europe, you have this in Greece, you have this in Italy. A lot of Europe was Christian in a way that was so closely allied to the state that when the Christianity needed to be real Christianity, it failed. I mean, the story of Bonhoeffer's story is the classic story, that German Lutheranism was not sufficient to withstand the satanic evil of Hitler. It was just dead religion, and the few Christians that were really robust in their faith weren't able to rally the church in Germany to stand against the evil. And you have a lot of that. And then the backlash, and that's what you're talking about, you know, in 1905, is that, ironically, whatever authority the church had, which might have been quite good, is itself lost. All authority becomes suspect, and you fall into the trap that we've fallen into now in America after Watergate in the 60s, that any authority, whether the church or the state or any goodness, is somehow the aspersion is cast upon it of hypocrisy or, well, anyway, that's my general take.
What we need to recapture is the passion and conviction of faith that led ordinary people to volunteer their time in the 12th and 13th centuries. These were peasants and craftsmen who didn't have tons of free time. They weren't, you know, bubbling over with material wealth, but they devoted themselves day after day, week after week, hour after hour, to volunteering to build Notre Dame. And it took 200 years of people volunteering their time, people donating. Sometimes the kings donating. The church did have some wealth of its own, but it was mostly spontaneous people. You know, the way when someone is shot in, let's say, a ghetto neighborhood, and you see like a little memorial and people put flowers and plaques and candles. Well, this was the equivalent. It was crowdsourcing a cathedral. And that's why one part of the cathedral was a slightly different architectural style than the other, because when they were making the newer one, they used the newer style, so it's not perfectly matched. It's organic, almost like a tree that grew over 200 years, and it grew out of authentic faith, love for God, love for beauty. Now, in the secular West, and I won't just single out France, when a church like that is destroyed, you hear people say, well, you could never build that again. We don't have the crafts. We don't have the techniques. In fact, we do. If you go up to Morningside Heights, you'll see they're building a Gothic cathedral slowly, the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. The techniques still exist. What we don't have are the techniques of faith and love and hope and self-sacrifice and focus on the supernatural, a sense that God is really there, and there really is this invisible world of grace and redemption, which it's worth using our earthly lives to connect with and to build up our relationship with. We think, no, it's not really worth the sacrifice, you know. It might be true, might not be true, but it's not really worth making that big a bet on it, you know. I think I'll do this other thing that's more comfortable. I've noticed something, Eric, and this is at least true in Catholic churches. I don't know about Protestant churches. The more comfortable the seats, the uglier and cheaper and stupider the altar and the sanctuary are. Whereas if you have an old church with exquisite windows and a marble altar, it'll often be a hard bench and something hard to kneel on. But when you get to these new churches built in the 60s, the stuff that's meant to honor God in the sanctuary looks like a not very talented 7-year-old did it in art class in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's cheap materials like felt and polyester, and it's simple and it's crude. But the seats, my gosh, they're like thrones. Velvet cushions, so comfortable. We value our butts beyond our souls and God.
Wow. You just, you're a very lapidary talker, John. What you said about writing this article, which people can read at the stream.org, folks, just go to stream.org. The title is "Are We Too Primitive to Rebuild Notre Dame?" You said writing the article was like live tweeting from your mother's funeral, another lapidary phrase. So I have to say, John, that, you know, we're touching on some very important things. That's why I wanted to have you on today, because this is not just about, oh, some terrible thing happened. You know, it's powerfully symbolic, deeply symbolic. When I think about, you know, Suzanne yesterday said something like, it's almost as if St. Patrick's Cathedral were to go away. And then we both realized, oh, my gosh, that doesn't begin to compare to Notre Dame, which is 800
right.
years. We have absolutely nothing in the United States of America that can touch this. It's just a staggering thing. Now, I heard someplace yesterday on the news that when Victor Hugo wrote his famous novel, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, was that at the turn of the century? Was that following the Dreyfus Affair? I can't even remember how. Like,
that was before. That was in the 1840s.
Oh, I'm sorry. So it's way before that. But in a way, I guess what I heard on the news was that it brought new attention to Notre Dame, that somehow Notre Dame had already, I guess, because of the secularism of the French Revolution and the general climate. Hard to believe that 200 years ago in France, and, you know, Tocqueville touches on this, you have the kind of a secularism that we haven't seen in America until like the 1960s, realistically.
Can I put it in perspective for you?
Please.
How quickly things can go insane as we watch American politics. This should keep people up at night. In 1789, when they decided to reform the French monarchy because it had gone broke, largely by supporting the American Revolution, by the way, when Louis XVI decided to reform the French monarchy, he had already abolished laws against Protestants and Jews. He'd already liberalized a lot of things and gotten rid of some of the worst aspects of the French monarchy. But he needed to reform it, so he summoned the Estates General. And that was like some of the common people, some of the nobles, and the bishops would all meet in this convention. In this Estates General was like a parliament. Well, it started in 1789 with a religious procession, with all the bishops of France carrying the Eucharist in a beautiful gold monstrance and Gregorian chant, and a very solemn, beautiful procession full of hope for the reform of France. Within 4 years, they were gunning down priests and nuns as traitors and trying to wipe out the whole population of the province of the Vendée because they clung to the Catholic faith and they wanted to restore the monarchy and they didn't want to fight in the Revolution's wars.
When we
4 years, they went from a religious procession to an anti-Christian violent persecution. Things can go that haywire that fast.
Don't
be too comfortable.
Well, when we come back, we'll continue the conversation with John Zmirak, folks. We'll be right back.
Thinking about what a friend had said, I was hoping it was a lie.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The White House says the bells of Notre Dame Cathedral will sound again. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says President Trump has offered his condolences to French President Macron over the fire that caused major damage to the iconic building. She says America stands with the French, the city of Paris, and millions of visitors from around the world who seek solace at the cathedral. President Trump keeping up his attack on the origins of the Russia investigation as he awaits the release of the redacted special counsel's report. The president portrays the investigation as an effort by Democrats and career officials in the Justice Department to bring him down. Attorney General William Barr plans to release a redacted version of the report on Thursday. Healthcare companies leading stocks broadly higher in trading on Wall Street. The Dow is ahead 66 points now. This is SRN News.
Following is a true story.
My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under a dollar a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-6 877-671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas here. You all know how much I love MyPillow, and now Mike Lindell has come out with the world's most comfortable bed sheets. He finally found the best cotton in the world in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all come together to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. This is not a joke. His new Giza Dream bed sheets are made with this long staple cotton, and he guarantees they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. The first night you sleep on these sheets, you will never want to sleep on anything else. The Giza Dream sheets are available in a variety of colors, and like all of Mike's products, they come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Right now, you can get your very own by calling 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057, and use promo code ERIC or METAXAS to get 30% off plus free shipping, or go to MyPillow.com, but be sure to use the code ERIC or METAXAS, MyPillow.com.
Big John. Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas Show talking to Big Bad John Zmirak. We're talking, unfortunately, about what happened yesterday at Notre Dame in Paris. John, you were just making 100 important points, so we can just continue our conversation. Well, look, Notre Dame, I just want to go back to this idea that it was symbolic on a level that very few things are symbolic. So maybe you can just talk about that for a minute, because it's one thing to lose a building, but this was very, very, very much more than a building.
It was something that grew organically over hundreds of years. We don't have anything really comparable in America. I guess if you wrapped up together the Statue of Liberty, the Capitol, the White House, the Washington Monument, and the Vietnam Memorial, all in one, it would begin to maybe approach what Notre Dame signified, not just for France, but for Europe. France was at one point at the center of Christendom. It was sending missionaries around the world. It was fighting in the Crusades. It was building churches like this. It was copying ancient books. You know, if we have to remember, all the books that we have from the ancient world, virtually every one of them that still exists, was because monks patiently recopied them.
Even
books that, you know, were somewhat profane or even offensive, like Ovid, things which, you know, the monks would have considered pornography. They dutifully recopied them because they thought it was their job to pass along the best that human culture had produced, even where it was not honoring God. They were recopying those books because books decay. After about 100 years, a parchment might crumble up and go away. So every 50 years, you have to recopy them.
So
every book we have,
all the classics,
is because monks, like the people who for whom Notre Dame was built, monks recopied them. In fact, if you go in the New York Public Library, there's a great foyer with the four periods of the West, and you see one with the fall of the Roman Empire, with pillars crumbling and barbarians galloping around. But in the side, you see monks patiently recopying ancient books. I was always happy that the New York Public Library acknowledged that.
It's amazing to think that, you know, obviously we don't need monks to copy things today. But I think that even though the monks copied Ovid and other, works that are considered pagan classics, I think the monks today would put their foot down and refuse to copy things written by, for example, Erica Jong or Jonathan Livingston Seagull, things along those lines. I'm just guessing.
I think they would realize that books like that will pop up spontaneously. You know, if the last copy of 50 Shades of Grey disappeared, you can be confident that its equivalent would ooze up out of the mud in 100 years
because
and nothing would be lost.
That is the kind of book, in fact, that does get typed by monkeys locked in a room. And really over a fairly short period of time. I think in 45 days they could knock out one of those pop boilers. Okay, so we're talking about the greatness of the West. It is to Macron's credit that he immediately yesterday said, we will rebuild Notre Dame. Now, it's hard to know exactly what he means by that. But the idea that he said that, I think he felt compelled to say it. I don't think that any statesman in France could say anything less. But to say something like that is to say something more than just that we're going to rebuild this, but that it does have a place in our hearts, that maybe we're being reminded, all of us in the Christian West, but particularly in France, they're being reminded that they have already lost what only burned yesterday, but that they have already lost it. And maybe this is going to get them to think a little bit more about how far they have fallen toward secularism so far.
And maybe.
Yeah.
Worry about the attacks on the church. There's a release by, do you know Frank Gaffney?
He's a friend.
Yeah, well, he's got a press release out today. You ought to consider having him on. His group, Save the Persecuted Christians. He pointed out that in the past few months, there have been a number of intentional arson attacks on churches all across France.
Well,
the 800-year-old Basilica of Saint-Denis in a heavily Muslim neighborhood in Paris was vandalized. Its organ was heavily damaged and stained glass windows were broken. Just last month, there was a fire at Saint-Sulpice, another crucial church in Paris. They're all across France. There are churches being desecrated. We don't know exactly who, but it's interesting that on Fox News, a French public official and Bill Donahue of the Catholic League, they both raised the question of arson with Notre Dame because no one knows the origin of the fire, and they both said, you know, it's conceivable that it's arson, and Shepard Smith cut them off.
You know what? This is the opposite. This is the opposite of the Reichstag fire. In other words, even if it were true that a Muslim terrorist or a radicalized Muslim had set this fire, you get the impression that it's impossible ever to know. In other words, you simply can never know because that would be itself considered incendiary, metaphorically speaking. And so you can't go there. But of course, if other churches have been burned down by radicalized Muslims in France, it ends up being, unfortunately, a rather logical question. When we come back, we're talking more with John Zmirek about Notre Dame, which burned down yesterday.
And he comes and he stays, but he leaves the next day.
Hey, Albin.
Hey, yeah.
Can I tell you about Relief Factor?
Oh, please do. Please.
No, I'm asking you, can I?
Oh, yeah, you may.
You mean I may?
You have permission.
But I tell you what.
What?
We've got somebody else who's going to talk about Relief Factor. Let's hear from her first. Her name is Sue. Here it is.
I have suffered with pain up and down my leg for 30 years, and it comes from working out. I was desperate, and I needed to find something that would help that pain. When I heard about the Quick Start program, I ordered it, and amazingly, it helped. I was pain-free.
Okay. Yeah. That's Sue, right?
Yeah.
Now, I was just with my relatives down in Atlanta for a wedding, and I was basically saying the same thing to them.
Wow.
I said, look, I advertise this thing on my program. It's called Relief Factor, okay? And some of them, they've got aches and pains. I said, trust me, the Quick Start Pack, $19.95, you get more than 3 weeks worth. If you do it, you'll know in 3 weeks. Do it, please. I'm begging you. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
I came as close to heaven as a person can be without getting in. For 3 years, I followed Jesus Christ and devoted myself to ministry. But today, despite all that I did as a follower of Jesus, I am languishing in hell.
Don't miss Heaven So Near So Far, the story of Judas Iscariot.
Heaven So Near So Far, this Friday in the Eric Metaxas Show.
It's Better Together, the exciting daily half-hour talk show by women and for women in all seasons of life. Coming to TBN weekdays starting April 22nd. Each day, host Lori Crouch welcomes popular women in ministry, music, entertainment, and more. It's good friends like Christine Kane, Carrie Jobe, Victoria Osteen, Lisa Harper, Dee Dee Freeman, Holly Wagner, and many more. So grab a cup of coffee, settle back in your favorite easy chair, and join Lori and friends as they sit down for fun, faith, and some powerful conversations about relevant issues all women talk about. Relationships, addiction, identity, no topic is off limits. Better Together is real friends getting together for real conversations. It's more than just a TV show. It's your daily destination for love, friendship, encouragement, and community. It's Better Together, starting Monday, April 22nd at 1:30 Eastern, 10:30 Pacific, only on TBN. Text TOGETHER to 316-316 to join in. That's TOGETHER to 316-316. And we'll see you real soon.
Many people today think the Bible, the most influential book in world history, is not only outdated, but also irrelevant, irrational, and even immoral. Dennis Prager here. I've written a book, The Rational Bible, Genesis. to prove otherwise. My new book demonstrates clearly and powerfully that the Bible remains profoundly relevant both for the great issues of our day and in each of our lives. The Rational Bible Genesis comes out this May, and I want to invite you to join me for an exclusive pre-launch event for my book on May 6th in Orlando, Florida. That will be the first day it will be available to the public. Get your tickets today. Be part of a full-day celebration with me and our partners at TBN. Come and be part of the studio audience for the taping and live broadcast of my radio show. After the broadcast, I'll discuss my new book, answer your questions, and you'll get a signed copy of the Rational Bible Genesis. Join me in Orlando on May 6th. Get your tickets today when you visit my website, DennisPrager.com, and click on the Rational Bible banner. See you in Orlando.
When I think of those eastern lights, muggy nights, the curtains drawn in the little room downstairs. Bring it down a lot. Should have been there, sitting like a princess perched in her electric.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking to John Zmirak about the tragedy yesterday in Paris at the burning of Notre Dame. Now, John, on the positive side, the entire thing did not burn down. As much as burned, still much of it was saved. At least some of it was saved. The famous twin.
That's right. It's structurally sound.
Okay.
So what we have to hope now is that Macron and the bishops in France don't get the idea, well, we can't reconstruct it stone for stone. That would not be in the spirit of modernity and tolerance. What we need to do is have a crystal, ultra-modern area in the middle to replace the medieval section, and it will be like the Pompidou Center or what they did to the Louvre. It'll be half medieval and half modern and all hideous.
By the way, the center Georges Pompidou, which I had the misfortune of laying my eyes on in 1984, the only time I did go to Paris, is without question one of the most intentionally ugly buildings in the universe. In fact, it's probably the most intentionally ugly building. It's absolutely hideous and represents the perfect excrescence and apotheosis of modern architecture. I just wanted to be clear. So if you want to go to Paris and see, you'll see tremendous beauty and one of the ugliest buildings ever made.
Well, that really is the spirit of the French Revolution right there in the Pompidou Center. It doesn't convey anything of transcendence. It doesn't suggest that man is an image of God. It reminds you that you're an animal who's going to die.
The
effect of that is, among humans, once we figured out how contraception works, the effect of knowing all that is not to even want to have enough children to replace yourself.
Well, but listen.
And that's why every Western country, every developed country in the world, has a below replacement birth rate except for Israel.
Okay, George Weigel, whom you must be aware of, he was the official biographer of John Paul II. George Weigel wrote a book probably 15 or 18 years ago called The Cube and the Cathedral. And I had him speak at Socrates in the City. You may be able to see it if you go to the website, socratesinthecity.com. But he spoke on the Cuban Cathedral, and the thesis of that book is just about what you said, that the cathedral, I'm pretty sure it's Notre Dame that when he says the cathedral, the cube was a building designed and it's larger than Notre Dame, and it's kind of like the secularist, FU to Notre Dame. And in the book, he compares the secular worldview, which you just talked about, and the low birth rate. And it's extraordinary that the more secular, the more you say that we're just these animals who live for a few decades and that's it, there's nothing transcendent, the less you're inclined to procreate. And
right.
It really is fascinating how much of the declining Christian West has ceased to reproduce itself at the standard rate, which would be, two people per couple, and how there's a strong relationship between your view of God and your view of man with your view of
the
beauty,
birth rate.
And of course,
it's a fantastic book by David Goldman. You know David Goldman?
No.
He calls himself Spengler. He's got a column in the Asia Times. I've read it first thing.
I've certainly heard
of
Spengler.
He's got this great book called Why Civilizations Die. And he goes into that question in depth. And we don't really have a solid answer, but it seems like once you've figured out contraception and once you've accepted the worldview that life is about piling up happy moments before you die and vanish forever, kids just don't add enough happy moments to be worth it. According, you know, most people ultimately just don't decide to have more than one or two kids. Because they don't add as many happy moments as they eat up, you know, dirty diapers, screaming in the middle of the night.
Right.
They'll be living in your basement until they're 30 talking about Bernie Sanders. It's, you know, do the math. It's not worth it from a hedonistic point of view. Whereas people who believe in an afterlife and in a creator have a desire to create more immortal souls. They feel called to shepherd more souls into this world and to help form them for life in the next world. But if you really think your horizon ends at death and you're just doing the math of the pleasure-pain ratio, the verdict is in. The voters have decided it's not worth it.
Well, you've also spoken on this program some months ago about how most of the leaders of the Western European nations themselves have no children. It's a very, very curious development. Obviously, Theresa May, obviously Macron, obviously Merkel. It is a very strange thing that you have this ruling class who themselves do not any longer typify, at least in that way, the average folks.
Or, you know, obviously every human generation that came before, what they are, it's weird. It's almost, they're like a dark parody of the celibate priesthood, where people give up children in return, or nuns, they give up the gift of children, the joy of marriage, in return for pursuing the next life. Well, these people have renounced children in the pursuit of absolutely nothing.
Well, yeah, It's a bizarre thing. Well, you know, when we think about what just happened in Paris, this horror, it seems to me that this will touch the hearts of the French men and women, the working men and women, in a way that may lead to something. I don't mean politically, but something like a Brexit. In other words, where the average Frenchman stands up, that this has pushed them so far that I think that they may demand that their faith and that their history gets more respect, and that the welcoming of the stranger, you know, proceed along genuinely biblical lines, which is to say, where the stranger is welcomed in to a culture that already exists. The stranger is not welcomed in to import their culture. When we come back, a final segment in this hour with John Smirek, but we're going to keep him on into hour two. Lots to talk about. This is the Eric Metaxas Show, our website, MetaxasTalk.com. Stick around.
This Easter, Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz.
Boys, get off the ice!
He's been underwater 15 minutes.
The odds were against her son.
He's had no pulse for over an hour.
Until his mother's prayer.
Please, Xander, please, spirit, to save my son.
Proved the impossible.
We've got a pulse!
On April 17th.
I don't believe John will survive the night.
Discover the incredible true story.
You don't know my son.
Of an extraordinary miracle.
He is a fighter.
Breakthrough, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. For tickets, go to BreakthroughMovie.com.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump has offered his condolences to the President of France for the fire damage at the Notre Dame Cathedral.
In a phone call to French President Macron, President Trump expressed his sadness over the fire devastation and offered U.S. assistance in rehabilitating the cathedral. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders also says Notre Dame will continue to serve as a symbol of France, including its freedom of religion and democracy. In a statement, she says, "We remember the cathedral's bells tolling after the September 11th terrorist attacks, and those bells will sound again." Greg Clugston, Washington.
The latest poll numbers are looking good for the president. The last Rasmussen Reports Daily presidential tracking poll shows that 52% of likely U.S. voters approve of Mr. Trump's job performance, 48% disapprove. On Wall Street, the Dow ahead 79 points. This is SRN News.
Seaster Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz.
Boys, get off the ice!
He's been underwater 15 minutes.
The odds were against her son.
He's had no pulse for over an hour.
Until his mother's prayer.
Please, Xander, please, Spirit, to save my son.
Proved the impossible.
We've got a pulse!
On April 17th.
I don't believe John will survive the night.
Discover the incredible true story.
You don't know my son.
Of an extraordinary miracle.
He is a fighter.
Breakthrough. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. For tickets, go to breakthroughmovie.com.
It's Better Together, the exciting daily half-hour talk show by women and for women. Coming to TBN weekdays starting April 22nd. It's good friends like Lori Crouch, Christine Kane, Carrie Job, Victoria Osteen, Lisa Harper, and many more. It's more than just a TV show. It's your daily destination for love, friendship, encouragement, and community. Starting Monday, April 22nd at 1:30 Eastern, only on TBN. Text TOGETHER to 316-316 to join in. That's TOGETHER to 316-316.
Things there were sand and hills and rain. The first thing I met was a fly with a buzz and the sky with no clouds.
Hey there, folks. We're talking to John Zmirak. This is the last segment in hour one, but we're going to drag John into hour two so we can continue this important conversation about Notre Dame and what happened yesterday. Obviously, today is Tuesday, and yesterday, Monday, the 15th, the tragedy of the burning of Notre Dame Cathedral. John, we were just talking about many things, and I was suggesting that the average Frenchman, kind of like with Brexit, that they may find their voice in the middle of this tragedy.
What? Maybe they'll see that this just can't be taken for granted, that Notre Dame did not, in fact, emerge from the ground by itself. It's not a natural formation like Mount Rushmore.
Ha.
That's an old joke that Sonny Bono joked that Cher thought that Mount Rushmore was a natural formation. I use that to illustrate the unlikeliness of Darwinian natural selection.
Well, I've done the same thing, but I didn't know that originated with Sonny and Cher.
Yeah, he said she believed it was a natural formation. So I have a column at the Stream called Mount Rushmore, Nature's Greatest Wonder. And it's all about intelligent design.
Right. Oh, gosh. There's always so much to talk about.
The average Frenchman's got to see that Notre Dame does not emerge by accident, and it's not the result of government planning commissions. It's not the kind of thing you build even out of national pride. National pride will produce maybe something like the Arc de Triomphe, which is fine, but you can't look at it for more than a few minutes. It's an arch. It's got some carvings on it. It's about a war that was over, a war actually that France lost, and it doesn't move your soul. It doesn't change you. It makes you a little bit proud to be a Frenchman, but not proud enough that you're going to raise three or four Frenchmen yourself. That's not going to do that.
Wow.
What's going to tip the balance is belief that you are assisting in the creation of eternal souls, of creatures with a supernatural destiny that God wants to exist. If France is going to survive, if it's not just giving a name on a map, the next Islamic Republic will be the Islamic Republic of France. If it's going to be French, if it's going to be European, if it's going to be in any kind of continuity with ancient Gaul and medieval France and the France that fought in World War I and World War II, it's going to have to rediscover God.
Well,
period.
There you go. I guess, you know, it reminds me of, I guess, was it Warsaw that was rebuilt by after the war? The old part of Warsaw. I was in Warsaw a few years ago, and when they told me that it had been destroyed during the war, but that the Poles themselves, in a short period of time, volunteered day after day, week after week, month after month, to rebuild what had been destroyed, I was agog. I could not believe it. I thought, the Polish people are so amazing. You already knew this. But they're amazing people. And I think that, you know, that kind of thing lies in the soul of every nation and every culture, if we can only find it. I wonder whether during this Holy Week, God himself put his finger on that part of the French soul by allowing this horrible thing to happen. This is the end of Hour 1. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. In Hour 2, we'll continue our conversation. Don't go away with John Zmirek.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.